artist, band, or record label. We want you to send us your music so we can put it on the radio. Not only this station, but stations across Canada. Check out earshot-distro.ca and share your music with more than 100 radio stations and programmers across the country. Earshot Distro is made by and for the campus community radio sector to help emerging musicians. Uploads cost $7 per song or $50 per album. Learn more at earshot-distro.ca.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
And we searched for about 10 miles. We found two bodies, a little girl and a little boy. And then we finally came up here and we found the dad that we were looking for.
Flash flooding in central Texas kills at least 80 people, more than a quarter of them children, as rescuers continue to search for the missing. We'll speak to a leading expert on forecasting and warning systems, former NOAA meteorologist Alan Girard. Then Trump signs the budget bill into law after Republican Congress members pass it.
On this vote, the yeas are 218, the nays are 214. The motion is adopted.
We'll look at the sweeping impacts of the new law with the nation's John Nichols and what's in it for the fossil fuel industry. We'll talk to investigative reporter Antonia Yuhas, then Gaza.
I don't wish for a truce. I wish for a complete ceasefire. A truce just means the war will resume later. We hope for a total ceasefire so the bloodshed stops entirely.
Could there be a truce? Prime Minister Netanyahu is in Washington today to meet with President Trump. We'll speak with Dr. Feroz Sidwa. He's volunteered in Gaza, writes, hospital attacks in Gaza and Israel, what counts as a war crime? All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump signed his sweeping tax cut and spending bill into law on the 4th of July, capping a months-long push that saw just five Republican lawmakers break ranks to oppose the legislation. The historic bill includes some $1 trillion in federal cuts to Medicaid over a decade, expected to result in some 17 million people losing health insurance. It makes the largest ever cuts to food assistance benefits, could cause the closure of nursing homes and rural hospitals across the United States, will raise housing and energy costs, will supercharge Trump's crackdown on immigrants, all while extending Trump's 2017 tax cuts for the rich and delivering massive new tax benefits for the wealthiest Americans. The Congressional Budget Office says it'll add $3.3 trillion to the national debt by 2034. New York Congress member Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez spoke out against the bill ahead of its final passage in the House Thursday.
This bill is a deal with the devil. It explodes our national debt. It militarizes our entire economy, and it strips away health care and basic dignity of the American people for what? To give Elon Musk a tax break and billionaires the greedy taking of our nation. We cannot stand for it, and we will not support it. You should be ashamed.
We'll have more on Trump's historic law after headlines. Search and rescue missions are continuing in central Texas, where the death toll from catastrophic flooding has reached 82 people, with dozens still missing. In the most devastated area, Kerr County, at least 40 adults and 28 children died in the flooding. Among those still missing are at least 10 girls from Camp Mystic, an all-girls summer camp on the banks of the Guadalupe River, which officials say swelled and rose some 26 feet in under an hour Friday amidst torrential downpours. pours. Survivors and rescue workers have described harrowing scenes as people clung to trees and took refuge on rooftops to avoid being swept away by the floods. This is Ilda Mendoza, who joined other volunteers to help search for victims.
We found two bodies, a little girl and a little boy. And then we finally came up here and we found the dad that we were looking for. And today we came back because we haven't found the wife.
Questions are mounting over local authorities' failure to prepare and warn residents ahead of the disaster. Texas officials have pointed the finger at federal authorities. The chief of the Texas Division of Emergency Management claimed during a weekend press conference the National Weather Service did not give proper warning of the catastrophic flash floods.
Go back and look at your own forecast, and the amount of rain that fell in this specific location was never in any of those forecasts.
Experts say staff shortages at local National Weather Service offices and the lack of a local severe weather warning system may also have been part of the problem. On Sunday, President Trump issued a major disaster declaration for Texas, activating FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which Trump has vowed to phase out after this year's hurricane season. On Sunday, reporters questioned him about those plans.
Are you still planning to phase out FEMA?
Well, FEMA is something we can talk about later, but right now they're busy working, so we'll leave it at that.
Meanwhile, Texans are bracing for more severe rains in the coming days and hours. We'll have more on the Texas floods with a former NOAA climatologist after headlines. The Trump administration scrubbed government websites of congressionally mandated reports on the climate, making it harder for state and local governments to plan for heat waves, forest fires, floods, and rising seas. Federal law requires the executive branch publish the U.S. National Climate Assessment every 4 years, along with a yearly update for Congress. Yet last week, websites hosting the assessment went dark. Climate scientists have condemned the Trump administration's censorship. University of Illinois professor Donald Wobbles, who worked on all five previous national climate assessments, told Inside Climate News, quote, "Climate change is one of the most serious issues humanity has ever faced, and for us to not take that seriously, as this administration is doing, it's criminal," he said. Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip have killed at least 24 people so far today, following another bloody weekend that saw scores of Palestinians slaughtered. Among the dead are at least six people killed when Israel bombed a medical clinic in Gaza City housing displaced Palestinians. At least 15 others were wounded. Separately, Doctors Without Borders, Medecins Sans Frontières, known as MSF, is condemning the killing of Abdullah Hamad, a former MSF worker shot dead by Israeli forces July 3rd. Colleagues say Dr. Hamad was part of a group of Palestinians seeking to collect flour from an aid truck in Khan Yunis when Israeli forces attacked without warning, killing at least 16 people. Dr. Hamad is the 12th member of Doctors Without Borders killed by Israel's military since October 2023. Meanwhile, a U.S. and Israeli-backed aid distribution organization that's been widely condemned by the international community resumed its operations today after again suspending its work Sunday. The so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation claimed without evidence two U.S. contractors were hurt in attack by Hamas at one of its sites Saturday. The claim came as GHF security guards continued near-daily attacks on starving Palestinians lining up for aid at overcrowded distribution sites, with at least 750 Palestinians killed and nearly 5,000 others wounded in such assaults since May. This comes as a former GHF security guard and whistleblower has described how he witnessed American co-workers using machine guns to open fire on Palestinians who pose no threat. The former guard asked to remain anonymous as he spoke to the BBC.
When this guy was shooting into this group, this man dropped to the ground and was motionless. Then the other contractor who was standing there was like, "Damn, I think you got one."
But that's an obstacle. They're right there.
And then they laughed about it.
I think you hit one.
I brought this to the attention of the leadership directly. I was like, "I don't." And then the leadership said to me, "Well, you have no way of knowing that person was hit with a bullet. Maybe they tripped. Maybe they were tired and they passed out."
The contractor said guards were told to open fire if they felt uncomfortable, with instructions to, quote, shoot and ask questions later, unquote. The guards reportedly described starving Palestinians in line for food as, quote, the zombie horde, unquote. Israeli warplanes have bombed three ports and a power plant in parts of Yemen controlled by Houthi fighters. Sunday's attacks were the first by Israel and Yemen in nearly a month. They came as a Houthi spokesperson said the group had fired missiles targeting Ben Gurion Airport, two Israeli seaports, and a power station in southern Israel. The Houthis say they'll continue attacks until Israel lifts its blockade on Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has arrived in Washington, D.C. for talks with President Trump. It's Netanyahu's third trip to Washington since Trump's inauguration in January. Once again, the United States will not enforce an international criminal court warrant seeking Netanyahu's arrest for war crimes and crimes against humanity committed in Gaza. Ahead of the meeting, Trump predicted there's a good chance Israel and Hamas will reach a deal on a new U.S.-promoted Gaza ceasefire framework, which Trump has called his final proposal for the Palestinians. It calls on Hamas to release 10 living and 18 dead Israeli hostages. In exchange, Israeli forces would withdraw to a buffer zone along Gaza's borders and allow significant amounts of aid to be brought in by the United Nations, Red Crescent, and other NGOs. The plan would still allow Israel to resume its assault on Gaza after an initial 60-day truce. Indirect negotiations between Israel and Hamas are continuing in Doha. Police in London arrested 29 protesters as they gathered in Parliament Square Saturday to support Palestine action, hours after a ban against the Direct Action Group came into effect. Among those arrested was Reverend Sue Parfitt, an 83-year-old retired Anglican priest who was arrested for displaying a sign reading, "I oppose genocide. I support Palestine action," unquote. Eight men removed from the U.S. in May were handed over to South Sudan Friday after the Supreme Court ruled the Trump administration can transfer expelled immigrants to third countries with which they have no ties. The men had been held in limbo on a U.S. military base in Djibouti after a lower court judge ruled they should not be sent to South Sudan, a country the U.N. warns could be on the brink of another civil war. Only one of the eight people is from South Sudan. The others are from Latin America and Asian countries. The U.S. military sending 200 Marines to help ICE terrorize immigrant communities in Florida. It's part of a move announced by Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth last month that'll see hundreds more U.S. military personnel deployed to southern states, including Texas and Louisiana. The public feud between President Trump and Elon Musk continued to deepen after Musk announced he's forming a new political party, the America Party, following the passage of Trump's tax cut and spending bill. Musk objects to the bill's projected increase of the U.S. debt by $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Tesla shares took a nosedive following the news of Musk's new political venture. On Friday, Trump was asked by a reporter if he'd try to deport Musk, to which Trump replied, "We'll have to take a look," adding, quote, "Doge is the monster that might have to go back and eat Elon," President Trump said. And in Philadelphia, some 9,000 city workers are entering their seventh day on strike. Sanitation workers, 911 dispatchers, and school crossing guards are among those demanding a fair wage that keeps apace with inflation and the soaring cost of living. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The death toll from the catastrophic flooding in Central Texas has reached 82 people. Dozens are still unaccounted for following flash flooding over the weekend. The Guadalupe River rose some 26 feet in less than an hour Friday amidst torrential downpours. The rain followed a long drought in the region that left the soil bone dry and increased the potential for flooding. Among the missing are at least 10 girls who attended Camp Mystic, located on the banks of the river. In Kerr County, the most devastated area, at least 40 adults and 28 children have died. This is Kerrville resident Scott Walden describing the terrifying moments before he was swept almost 200 feet by raging floodwaters.
About 6:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, we heard some thumps. I had a shed around the corner. And the shed started banging against the house. And my wife jumped up and she looked out the back and she said, there's a river back there. And so we ran to the front. And by the time we grabbed two dogs and a set of keys, the water had risen, covered four motorcycles, and flooded a Jeep, and then flooded a big truck.
Rescue workers and volunteers are continuing their search for the fourth day. Questions and anger are mounting over local authorities' preparedness warnings ahead of the disaster, as well as the current and future role of federal authorities. Experts say staff shortages at local offices of the National Weather Service and the lack of a local severe weather warning system, which the state wouldn't fund, may have been part of the problem. President Trump has said he plans to phase out FEMA by the end of this year's hurricane season and shift those responsibilities to states. A reporter asked Trump about his plans for FEMA Sunday.
Are you still planning to phase out FEMA?
Well, FEMA is something we can talk about later, but right now they're busy working, so we'll leave it at that.
Trump was also asked if the federal government should hire back any of the meteorologists that have been fired in recent months, to which President Trump said, quote, I wouldn't know that and I would think not, unquote. Meanwhile, the Trump administration's 2026 budget promises to dismantle critical scientific research programs that could improve early warning capabilities and upgrade technology. That's according to our next guest, who knows these programs extremely well. Dr. Alan Gerard is the CEO of Balanced Weather and a retired NOAA meteorologist with more than three decades of experience. He's the former head of the Warning Research and Development Division of the NOAA National Severe Storms Laboratory. He's been following the flooding closely on his Substack, Balanced Weather. Welcome to Democracy Now, Alan Gerard. Thank you so much for being with us. This is absolutely devastating. It looks like well over 100 people have died. About a quarter of them are children. We just heard Trump's response, both on not hiring meteorologists that have been fired and not clear whether FEMA will continue. Yet we hear local officials saying how desperate they are to continue to work with the National Weather Service. Can you talk about what took place and the fact that part of the severe flash flooding was caused by a drought?
Yeah, so we'll start with the flash flood. That area of the country is very vulnerable to flash flooding due to a number of factors, partially just due to the proximity of the Gulf and the moisture that can come up from there. And then also that soil in central Texas, which is also very hilly, when there's a prolonged drought, becomes almost like concrete. So the heavy rainfall just runs off into these river basins that run through the hill country and can create these massive flood waves like what we saw, unfortunately, on the South Fork of the Guadalupe.
And can you talk about the National Weather Service? In a moment, we're going to talk about the new law, the budget law that went into effect. But the National Weather Service and the depletion of jobs and what is missing, what most importantly, as we look forward, what is needed?
Yeah, so the National Weather Service, you know, like a lot of federal agencies, went through a significant loss of staff back in the spring with federal buyouts under the plans for DOGE and the Office of Personnel Management. And a number of experienced staff were lost. The office in Austin, San Antonio, which is the office that was responsible for the flash flood warnings in this case, have lost two of their most senior staff as part of that. Their warning coordination meteorologist, who's responsible for the outreach to emergency management, and the science and operations officer who oversees the operations and training of the meteorology staff. So obviously those are critical positions. I will say that it does appear like overall for the actual event when it occurred, the warnings went out as they should have, and that the office was staffed appropriately. But it is definitely a concern overall you know, how well the staff overall would have been prepared given those losses, and how well they'll be prepared going forward as we, you know, still have all of hurricane season to deal with. And then kind of from a longer term perspective, as you mentioned, the 2026 presidential budget proposal would make significant cuts to NOAA, including completely eliminating NOAA's research line office, the Office of Oceanic and Atmospheric Research. And obviously, if that were to happen, all of this research that's being done to try to improve warnings for events like this would be terminated.
In fact, isn't this weather research lab in Norman, where you are, Norman, Oklahoma, in the crosshairs of the cuts at the federal level where you worked as you were former head of the warning research unit there?
Yes. The division that I was in charge of actually does a lot of research to improve flash flood warnings. The system that the National Weather Service uses to, in real time, estimate the probability of flash flooding and help issue their warnings was developed here in our division at the National Severe Storms Lab. And under the current presidential budget, it would be closed along with all of the other NOAA weather and climate labs.
I mean, from the heat dome that we're seeing in this country and in Europe, I was just in Geneva. It's just scalding in Spain, the fires outside Barcelona. Can you end by talking about how serious the threat of climate change is right now to the planet, beginning right there in Texas in this horrific flash flooding event that has killed, it looks like, well, over 80, probably over 100, half, a quarter of them children.
Yeah, as someone that's been doing this for 35 years, I'll admit that early in my career, I was a little skeptical about how much climate change would actually impact the weather events that I would see in my career. But after doing it for three decades and seeing the research and actually watching the weather every single day and seeing the increased frequency of these type of events, it's a huge concern for me. And I you know, that's part of the reason why, even in retirement, I'm doing the Substack, trying to speak out about this, because I'm extremely concerned about the threat of climate change and having more increased flash floods, wildfires, heat waves. And regardless of the politics of it, we need to be prepared. And my focus is just trying to improve our resilience and our ability to be prepared for these kind of events. And obviously, I strongly believe that having a robust NOAA and a robust National Weather Service, a robust research program from NOAA is an important part of all of that, of keeping us as safe as we can be as the climate continues to change.
This final point, Alan Gerard, Elon Musk's own AI bot, Grok, also blamed the rising death toll in Texas on cuts made by the Trump administration and Doge, right? Doge that was run by Elon Musk, saying, while absolute proof of counterfactuals is impossible, evidence strongly suggests, yes, pre-cut NWS, National Weather Service models, accurately predicted similar floods, e.g. Vermont 2023. 2025 cuts reduced staff and balloon launches by 25%, leading to underestimated rainfall forecasts for Kerr County. Experts, including ex-NOAA heads, say this delayed warning's preventing Camp Mystic evacuation and contributing to the 24 deaths. Sources, PBS, NPR, Guardian. Your final 30 seconds, Alan Gerard, on Democracy Now! Today.
Not to contradict Grok, but I will say that this event did have quite a bit different than, like, the Vermont event that it cited. This was a very small-scale event that was very difficult for the computer models and for humans to really forecast, very far in advance. Having said that, there is no question that the Weather Service is being left in a more vulnerable state. And whether it was this event or whether it's going to be with future, hurricane flood events like this, we're we're needlessly putting ourselves into increased danger by these cuts to NOAA and the Weather Service and NOAA research. And hopefully, you know, this is a horrible tragedy that, you know, it's really unspeakable. But if anything positive could come out of it, maybe it will be that a reconsideration of some of these cuts.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. From Norman, Oklahoma, Alan Gerard, retired NOAA, that's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration meteorologist, former head of the Warning Research and Development Division of the NOAA National Severe Storms Laboratory, runs the Substack Balanced Weather. Up next, we'll speak with the nation's John Nichols about how Republicans just voted to do immoral and irreparable harm to the United States with a new Trump budget law, and how the fossil fuel industry will benefit. Finally, we'll talk about what's happening in Gaza as the Prime Minister of Israel meets with President Trump for the third time in Trump's second term. Stay with us.
Stand behind his drunken amp. Stand behind his light of love. Hear him yowl his bloody tongue. Hear him yellow blood and war. Do you believe in his sweet sensation? Do you believe in second chance? Do you believe in Rapture Bay?
Do you believe in Rapture by Thurston Moore, performing at Smith College years ago? This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Donald Trump signed his sweeping tax and spend bill into law on July 4th after a months-long push that saw just three Republicans in the Senate and two in the House break away to oppose how it slashes the social safety net while extending tax cuts to the rich and ballooning the deficit. That left room for the measure to pass, with the final vote mostly along party lines.
Vote. The yeas are 218, the nays are 214. The motion is adopted.
As House Speaker Mike Johnson announced that the measure had passed, he was surrounded by Republican lawmakers who mimicked Trump's thumbs-up pose and danced to his unofficial anthem, YMCA, that played in the chamber.
Does it all by himself, I said, young man. Put your pride on the shelf and just go there to the YMCA. I'm sure they can help you.
What critics are calling Trump's big, ugly bill includes some $1 trillion in federal cuts to Medicaid and could kick 17 million people off health care. It makes the largest ever cuts to food assistance benefits, could cause the closure of nursing homes and rural hospitals across the country, raises housing and energy costs, and supercharges Trump's crackdown on immigrants, all while extending Trump's tax cuts for the rich and delivering massive new tax benefits for the wealthiest Americans. New York Congress member Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said Democrats will campaign against Republicans who voted for the bill.
There have to be consequences to these votes, and we have to decide if this is just a joke or just for TV or if this is our real lives. And I hope people vote like it's our real lives.
Since Thursday's vote, TV ads are already running in swing districts currently represented by Republican supporters of the budget package, like Congressmember David Valadao in California's 22nd congressional district, where more than 60% of constituents reportedly rely on Medicaid.
Republicans in Congress promise not to cut Medicaid. But then
the bill is passed.
It's the biggest cut to Medicaid in history, and Congressman David Valadao just voted for it. More than 13 million Americans could lose health care. Seniors, veterans, and children with disabilities. Why'd he do it? To give another huge tax break to billionaires and big corporations. Tell Congressman Valadao we can't afford to have our health care taken away. Not now, not ever.
For more, we're joined by John Nichols, national affairs correspondent for The Nation. His new piece is headlined, Republicans Just Voted to Do Immoral and Irreparable Harm to the United States. The GOP